Let me just share these. Sometimes the Lord just puts things in your spirit. And I was talking with somebody a minute ago, and others may feel this way, but where you've been maybe in a desert, a season of a desert, and the Lord is saying that that season, that desert season, is coming to an end. Isn't that wonderful? That some of you may be feeling like that, where am I in the midst of my journey? And the Lord wants you to know you're on the edge of the desert, and you're coming out of that time. How many of you have had seasons where you've been, you know, moments where you go, what in the world am I supposed to do now? What in the world? It's like, and you come to those places more often than you'd like to. This is the understanding with that. Settle into Jesus. Settle into Jesus. Settle into Him. Wrap your life, cling to the Lord. Wrap your life up in the Lord. And if you do that, it's going to be real, real clear. Going to be real, real clear, because the Lord is the way. I think He said that once. Yeah, He did. Jesus said, I am the way. I looked over here at you, and I had this weird, wild-looking picture. And it was that you were in your house as a kid, I guess, and you put your foot down on the floor, and the floor broke, and you went in. You went down into the. It was real awkward. In other words, I think that's a picture of there was a foundation that was supposed to be there for you, and your foot went through it. But here's what's going on: the Lord is saying, "I'm guaranteeing you that I'm building a house that will never fail." In your life, I'm putting a house together with a foundation that you will never go through the floor again, ever. Does that mean something to you? Is that helpful? Praise the Lord. How many of you need that kind of a thing in your life? You need that settled sense. You need the settled sense of where you're going. You need the firm foundation under your feet. And the Lord guarantees that. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the name of this message today is The Power of the Father. Did everybody get message notes? We got a pen? Okay, The Power of the Father. I want to tell you that my whole ministry is based on really this kind of message, the whole thing. How many of you have had a wild ride with your dad? How many have had a smooth ride? Some nice smooth rides. Everybody's testimony and experience is different when it comes to that. I want us to lift up our hearts to the Lord just for a moment and ask for Him to open our understanding and to cause us to really receive what He has for each of us today, because everybody's heart's different. And when it comes to this subject, there's no desire in my heart to drudge up any pain unnecessarily or anything like that, but I do want to partner with the Holy Spirit so that if there is something that you're missing, that He wants to give or swap something that in your heart for something that He wants to deposit in there. How many of you know the devil likes to put stuff in? How many of you know your own flesh likes to mess up and put stuff in there? How many of you would like a nice swap today? And that's the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is it's a big exchange program. He says, you come here and give me your sins and I'll give you my righteousness. You give me your sadness, I'll give you my joy. You give me your frustrations, I'll give you my peace. You give me your rejections, I'll give you my love. I'm going to change your life and give you what I am in the place of what you've had. And that's the big deal. So let's lift our hearts. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity today to worship you, to draw close to you, to be yours. We ask, Lord, that you would pour forth into our hearts today and cause our eyes to open, our understanding to be clear, crystal clear when it comes to what you want to do with this whole concept of being our Father in Jesus' name. Amen? Well, there is an extraordinary power in the position of a father, because that power, as we know, can be very positive and create very tremendous positive shaping in those who look up to them. And one reason is that the child looks for your identity in the father. Who am I? Who are we? What is our family about? What role do we serve? What are my unique gifts? Do you understand me? The answers to these deep questions of personal identity are profoundly, they profoundly shape the child. And there's a part of this that makes you and I, as little kids, so susceptible to any kind of statement about us. Isn't that right? Somebody can say something about you because you're unfiltered. You're saying, who am I? And somebody tells you who you are, and it may not be positive. It's horrible what can happen in that unfiltered state. You're a pain in the butt, and you grew up thinking, well, I'm a pain in the butt. I've always been a pain in the butt. That's what I've told. I've always been one. I guess I'll be one. And everywhere you go, you start to live out the prophecy, I'm a pain in the butt. Suddenly, everywhere you go, people say, man, he's a pain in the butt. Because it was prophesied over you, and it shaped you. And those things hurt and can affect you. Whereas you say, you're a smart little kid. You're a smart little kid. I think one of our aunts said, my brother and I said, what handsome little boys you are. And I'm like, we're handsome little boys. Nobody told us we were ugly. We were handsome little boys. So it had an effect on us, right? The power of your identity is shaped through the meaningful all the words end up having meaning when you're little, whether they're good or not. So let's go ahead and jump into the first fill in the blank here. The first fill in the blank. The impact of a healthy father is immeasurable. The impact of a healthy father is immeasurable. And fatherlessness creates a vacuum that refuses to be filled until it is healed. I pondered over that for quite a while. I think that's real. I think that's true. That the fatherlessness, the orphaned heart, there's such a vacuum, and you try to fill things, put things in there to make it better, and it never happens. It never happens. You can't fill it until it's healed. And that's what the gospel is about. The gospel of healing something that this brokenness. There's a, I think I might have a fill in the blank. I mean, I do have a slide. This is the leadership of the man within the family is like the law of gravity. You can argue it's unfair. Or you can try to wish it away, and you can argue that it's unfair, but walk off the edge of a building and you plummet. Likewise, with fatherhood, try to ignore it, and your civilization collapses. It's amazing. So let's go ahead and look. I got a color slide up here. It shows Christ is the covering of the husband. And then you have the covering of the husband is to protect and to the family, lead the family, provide for the family. And then there's the wife. The comfort and teach and nurture. I don't believe that the father is the head of the home. I believe he's the head of the wife, and the wife is the head of the home. You go, what? Yeah, that's because she's gifted to oversee the house as a mother. It's all the details, all those things, but your primary role as a man is to cover her. And so then you have the kids, and their job is to love their parents back and obey, and that things go well with you when you do that. You take that out. You take that component out, and you have Christ, of course, and you have that. But there's this big missing element. And the element is so hugely missing that there's a verse, the last verse in the Old Testament. The last verse in the Old Testament is about what's missing. Let's look at this in the Amplified Version. It says this. Now, I want you to look at this verse. This is the Amplified Version, and I want you just to look at this with me for a moment. Behold, this is the last verse in the Old Testament. Let that grab you for a moment. This is the last verse in the Old Testament. The last one describes what's going on. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah. Elijah already happened. What's he talking about? Elijah came a long time ago. I'm going to send you Elijah. Elijah is a miracle-working prophet. Before the coming of the great and terrible day. Everybody, there's a great and terrible day coming. Be warned. There's a great and terrible day headed your way. But somebody's coming. He will do something unusual. He will turn the hearts of the fathers. Would you say that with me? Turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Wow. Look at that. Look at that. This is the problem in the culture. This is the brokenness in the culture. This is the essence of what's wrong in the United States. This is the heartbeat of everything that's gone down the toilet. He says, I will come and I will send someone and they will turn the hearts of the Father to the children. And what else? He says, he will, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Now, the Amplified Bible shows you another statement in here. What is this statement? A reconciliation produced by repentance. I want to pause there for a minute and mention John the Baptist. In fact, go to the next slide and then come back to this one. Jesus said this about John the Baptist. If you are willing to accept it, John himself is the fulfillment of Elijah as the messenger who has come to before the kingdom. Let's go back. What did John the Baptist do? John the Baptist preached repentance. What is repentance? Is repentance crying when you got caught? No. Is repentance merely confession that you did wrong? No. What is repentance? Repentance is not crying. Repentance is changing. There's a capacity that God gives when he shows you the reality of the gospel. Now, John the Baptist came along and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus comes along, baptized by John the Baptist, comes along and says, repent, for the kingdom of God, takes up the message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then what's at hand? What was at hand when John the Baptist was there? He was taking people and baptizing them in water, and he baptized them. Repent from dead works and rise up and change your life. Let your life be changed. And then Jesus comes along and gives you power to do it. He suddenly, there's a guy, he's blind, his eyes are open, and now God's using signs and wonders and all kinds of words and things to break in and break in and break in and give them to realize he's confirming and testifying that Jesus is the one. And he's testifying with miracles, with power things that happen in people's lives. With the lady at the well, he says, I know about your life. And what happens? She's like there. She got to go out in the middle of the day where nobody's around because she's all messed up in her relationships. And Jesus has a word of knowledge. Changes everything. Says, hey, you know what? How about go get your husband? Says, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right. You had five of them. The man you're with now is not your husband. Inside information changes your life, doesn't it? Affected her. She went. She was boldly affirmed by the Messiah. You're not only the prophet, you're the Savior. She goes, the whole town turns to Jesus. Jesus came, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He gives you a desire to change because he gives you the help to do it. When I say the help to do it. And he turns your heart. And then he goes and says, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse of complete destruction. A curse of complete destruction. Wow, doesn't that sound wonderful? You know what a curse is? I've heard somebody define this as this. A curse is a state of perpetual immaturity. A state of perpetual immaturity. You have a grown-up body, but you're stuck as a kid. And you still get mad as a kid because when you were growing up, something wasn't there. You expected love and you got something else and your emotions got stuck. And you've wrestled with that your whole life. Perpetual state of immaturity. Stuck. He says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give a message. And Jesus is going to come and he's going to die in your place. He's going to empower you. He's going to point out some things to you, and you'll have revelation in your heart to what he's going to help you to do. And suddenly you're going to say, that thing that happened between, now I'm talking my testimony, that devastating thing that happened to me that my father did, that devastating thing. The Lord says, I'm going to help you repent of the way you feel about him. I'm going to help you honor him. I'm going to help you change. I'm going to help you do that. I'm going to give you an ability you haven't had before. I'm going to empower you to be a forgiver, and you're going to start forgiving him. And you know what? I'm not going to require him to repent. I'm just going to require you to be the forgiver. I'm going to do what I want to require you to do what I did. I forgave the whole world, but they don't get it until they come and receive it, right? It says, I want you to go ahead and give it. Give it. Give it. give it. You know what that had? That changed me so much. I began to deeply, deeply, it took about at least 5 years of deep repentance and deep forgiveness concerning my dad and the things that happened over a period of time. I was being trained by the Lord in that, because the Father impacts you. It impacts you, deeply impacts you, changes you in a bad way. He says, I'm going to reconcile you. Now, with my dad, it's kind of interesting, because the Lord really never put it in my heart to go tell him about what happened. And probably he knew it, but he came to the Lord. And later in life, my brother told me, he says, yeah, when you're not around, my dad, he says, Dad brags on you because he's so happy you're in the ministry. And in his closing years, I ended up being more of a pastor in his life and being there spiritually as a support to him. And so it's really turned out really beautifully. And even the Lord just wanted me to know, I was on a little retreat one time and thinking about things, and the Lord showed me, I said, Lord, what about, you know, I never told my dad about, you know, reconciling this thing. And I'm kind of keeping it general. Some of you know me for a long time and you know the whole story, and I'm not going into the story, but let's just say there was a fist involved, okay? Let's just say it was damaging and destructive to me, and it happened early in my life and didn't really get addressed when I was first saved. It didn't start to be addressed until I was in my early 30s, and the Lord began a process of saying, I'm going to take everything that's been broken, and where you tried to have something that was stable in your life, I'm going to rebuild a foundation inside of you. Hello? I'm going to help you. And I realized today that, first of all, I want to give all the honor I can to every dad that represented the heart of Father God in their family. That's ideally, that's what begins to happen when you get healed, when you get reconciled to God. This gift of repentance. You see, in a lot of families like mine, nobody talked about what they did wrong. And so nobody ever said, I'm sorry. But then I received Jesus. And Jesus helped me become a forgiver. And my path out of this locked-in, closed system of not being able to talk. I know about families that just never talk. I was from one of those. Is anybody else? Maybe you all worked out your situation where you live in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. And we have now a family culture that is when somebody's hurting, nobody jumps down their throat. We find out what's going on, and we're supportive of one another. And like little kids, you know, when you if you're a little kid and something devastating happens to you, and the adult says, shut up. And now you swallow all that pain. And you walk around for years just, I can't talk about it because I told to shut up. Little boys don't cry. And you take that and you stick that in there. And now you can't even be a human. You can't cry. I'm not talking about being crazy crying. Just let off the pressure. Yeah. And people come in here and suddenly they're in the presence of God and tears are rolling down their face. And nobody's looking at them like, you know, nobody's freaking out. Because we're humans here. You can be a human being here. You can be vulnerable here. You don't have to have it together here. This is a perfect place not to have it together. I haven't had it together for life, my whole life. The Lord holds me together. I'm certain that he just says, okay, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to put you on the surgery table, and I'm going to start working on you, and everybody else will see that I can change somebody. And they'll get in line. I want to be healed like that. It's just the way it is. I'm so grateful that I'm different than I used to be, that I'm not full of the bitterness and the pain and the explosive outbursts of hurt and stuff. I used to just erupt. I didn't have control over it because I didn't know what to do with it. I couldn't open up my mouth and talk about it. There was no safe place. It was just buried in there and festered. How many of you know what I'm talking about? People get in trouble with the law just because they don't have a safe place to just be a human being and talk. Man, I've had a rough day. What happened? Such and such and such. And nobody going, well, you shouldn't feel that way. And close them all up. You know what I'm saying? It's just rough on people. And you end up with more. Hey, look, here's the stats. Are you ready? If you don't learn how to communicate, you go to prison. Prison is full of people who only express emotions, but they can't talk about them. they act them out, and then they get arrested because you can't say, look, I really have a need. No, you're not allowed to have a need. You see what I'm saying? You're full of rejection. You're full of murder. You're full of hate. You're full of, why is everything so? And there you go. There's another one. Now I'll get married and it'll all be better. And you blow up on each other. If we just had a baby and you blow up on the baby and you perform another little monster. Rah! And we fulfill the verse. We fulfill the verse. Perpetual state of immaturity. Because of not being able to reconcile and to repent and to turn the heart of the Father to the children. To actually, I never heard my dad say, you know, Roger, I'm really sorry about that. I'm sorry. I wish I wouldn't have spoken to you that way. Never heard that. I remember when I actually said it. Hey, Daddy, sorry, honey. I went, wow, this is new. This is new vocabulary. I'm actually saying I'm sorry. Nobody ever did that for me. And God's going, I'm in your life now. You can be a human. You can be vulnerable. You can be susceptible to that. You can be open and honest, and I'll be there with you. Anybody getting anything out of this? Is this real or what? Because, look, if I can't talk and I can't share, I got to medicate. If I can't talk and open up, I got to get something to solve the pain problem inside of me. And if it ain't cocaine, at least it's sugar. Or porn. Porn, a little dopamine hit looking at naked stuff. And then that's what's happened in the culture. You have people who don't know what they are because there was no dad. So they go find a man who's not their dad, and they do things that dads and sons don't really do. And the brokenness, and you got deep, deep pain, and you need deep, deep healing. And Jesus is the one who provides the deep healing to the deep losses and pain in our life. This is a Father's Day message. And I'm on point number one. And I don't know if I'll leave it. Because Jesus knows. Look, Jesus looked at, I said it earlier. So Jesus looked at his disciples and said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Thomas said, Philip, show us the Father. He says, have I been with you so long? And you don't, look, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so here's this incredible, sinless, empowering individual who cherishes people and helps them in a dimension that nobody ever has before. And that's Jesus in your and my life. That's who he is. You know what? Things are changing in a way that in your life, you've never been here before, have you? You've never really been this place. And it's not going to be the way it was. Thank you, Jesus. You're happy about that. He's putting things together in your family, not only with Matt, but your kids. Everything's changing. You're going to see him redeem everything, okay? We trust him for everything, all right? Hallelujah. So glad you're here. You're like on the runway, and we're about to take off. It's nice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise it, because everybody's tasted this destruction business. Everybody's had some of this curse over them. Everybody's been destroyed a little bit. Anybody been shaken up and destroyed and shaken down? It's just, things not working out. It's because of this. The Lord has something that he wants to do toward the end here. I feel like he stirred me up. Let's go ahead and the impact is so powerful. Let that other picture, let's put that up. This is incredible. I don't know if you can see this very well, but this is what happens when a man turns to the Lord in the family. When the dad comes to Christ first, 93% of the family will follow. That's how powerful it influences. That's the power of a father. When the father turns to Christ, it sets the direction. When the mother is influencing it, if the mother only is saved, it's only 17% influence over the rest of the family. Isn't that huge? I've seen these for years. Somebody finally put it in a little graph, but I've known about it forever. When the Father comes to the Lord, it sets the tone. Here's a humble heart now. Here's someone who's not an egomaniac. He's broken before God. He wants to do right. He looks to the Lord. He seeks the Lord. Hallelujah. Could you imagine what America, what the United States would be like if every single man was seeking God first? And men, as we talk about in our men's group, the essence of a spiritual man is two things, strong and caring. You can't have one without the other. The culture has strong men who are not caring, and they're violent, and they're abusive, and they're the men behind human trafficking. They use their strength to hurt people, and they do it all the time. They're not caring. But if you flip it to the just being a caring person, you don't have strong, you're not, there's no strength. There's a wimpy side, almost effeminate side. You can't really do anything. You just care, but you're too weak. But you take a man who's strong and has convictions and caring, and you see love manifest. And you see protection happen. You see provision happen. You see things happen. And when there's strong and caring men in a neighborhood, the place has peace over it. When you've got strong men in a neighborhood and they're not caring, you don't have peace in that neighborhood. When you have other men that are broken down, maybe they're on drugs, or they're not strong, but they care, but they don't really have any ability to do anything. It's weakness. It's the combination. And Jesus will make you a strong and caring man. He does miracles inside of men. He reconciles you. Well, I think I covered all this pretty good. Do I have the one up there? I think it's on your notes here. The healing of the wounding of the hearts of the fathers and children is so vital. Yeah, I mentioned that. I have it on your paper. To maturity, that when the wounds are not healed, people are stuck in a state of perpetual immaturity. Let's just go ahead to the next one. Number two, spiritual fathers. Now, we're shifting the gear just a little bit here. Spiritual fathers impart. Everybody say impart. Impart what is needed spiritually. I've told the story before, but hey, it's my story. The Lord was actually about 20 years ago telling me that he was speaking to me about being a father in the faith for people. A spiritual father. What would that mean, you know? And I began to realize that there was a need for this very verse that we're looking at, that God say, I want to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And people need, and so he set me, he'd been working with me to be a forgiver. And, you know, most everything that every time I turned around, I was having to forgive my dad for something. Everything. The Lord showed me one time that my life was like a multifaceted diamond, and all the different facets, everything tied back to the relationship with my dad. The way I thought about myself, the way I thought about others, the way I worked, the way I treated people, the way I dealt with money, no matter what it was, I was just always back to that. And the Lord says, I want you to forgive again. I would go, again? I just forgave him. No, that was for that part of your life. This is for this part of your life. And so it was a long process. And then as I was working through that, I realized, how can I be a dad if I don't have a dad? Now, look, some people are super blessed in that their earthly dad ends up actually being their spiritual dad. You know, that's actually what's the case in my daughter's life. Now that I've been healed, my daughter has a earthly dad who's actually her spiritual dad. But that never happened for me. My earthly dad never became my spiritual dad. So the Lord said, don't worry about it. I got a dad for you. Whoa. And one day I was praying because I was talking to this guy, and I had met Larry Titus. I'd met him before, 2 years earlier. And he talked to me just like a son. He talked to me and made some corrections in my life. Then I felt loved about it. It was crazy. I was like, nobody talks to me like this. I feel loved, and I feel like I want to change and improve because of what he said. I never knew that before. I never experienced that before. I never had a spiritual father where somebody's for you And yet they can help you without putting you down. Amazing. And so anyway, somebody told me, a guy named Gary said, hey, well, why don't you just pray and ask God who he wants that to be in your life? And I said, Lord, who do you want me to be my spiritual father? Larry Titus, really loud. It was like loud and fast, Larry Titus. I've already done that for you. And so I call him up on the phone, and the Lord, I mean, he was just so tender. And I said, it was like this emotional thing inside of me because I knew I needed something. And I didn't know exactly what, this is not my story. Not everybody's story is the same, but I broke down on the phone. I was crying. And I literally said, can I call you Dad? And he says, yes, I would love that. And part of my healing was to have unconditional love flow from God the Father through a man to me. And he began to impart. And there were things that were put into my life that I didn't have because another man who represented Father God would actually impart them to me. Let's look at this next verse. Is there a verse up there? Yeah, there is. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. So there's a lot of people that say, do this, do that, do the other, whatever, you know. But sometimes you need someone who says, live this way. This is how we do it. You remember when you're little, you say, what's our family about? Who am I? How do we do this? How many of you know that the spirit of the family you grew up in is the spirit you take with you? And then you meet Jesus. And he goes, that's not the spirit of our family. That attitude of pride or that attitude of being angry all the time, or that attitude, that's just not our family. And so the Lord puts you in a different family, and it's his family, it's his spiritual family, and suddenly the attitudes that you had in your family are confronted lovingly by the Holy Spirit, convicting you of, you don't treat people that way. It's not about you all the time. Maturity is about learning how to help somebody else instead of yourself, right? Laying down your life, learning to be like Jesus. You guys are going, yeah, I know. Sometimes it's really painful, especially when I'm tired and I don't want to. Yeah. How many of you have asked, the Lord's asked you to do something when you're already out of gas in your own emotions and you go the extra mile anyway? It's like, doesn't it feel good to sleep after that? I tell you. But you just do what the Lord does in your life. There's a man, we'll get to you later. Let's go ahead to the next verse. I love this verse. This is Paul talking. So for I long to see you, this is what spiritual fathers do. For I long to see you that I what? May impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Impart a spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So how many of you remember, I know some of you know the Bible, but how many of you remember Elijah, which we just talked about, and then Elisha? Okay, what happened is God told Elijah, go get this guy and bring him along with you. And the prophets all knew, the little school of prophets all knew that Elisha washed the hands for Elijah. Okay, and so anyway, it gets to the end of Elijah's life, and Elisha wants that anointing that's on Elijah's life. He wants that anointing, but he just doesn't want that anointing. He wants twice as much of it. He says, I want a double portion of what God has put on your life. And he looks at him and says, you have asked a hard thing. But if you see me when I'm taken up in the chariot, when I pass away, or when the Lord comes and gets me, if you see me, you'll receive it. And so he wraps up that mantle, and he gets, you know, the horse in the chariot comes down, and this is this made of fire, and the horse is made of fire, and it swoops down out of the sky. Don't you love the Bible? I love to see this, like when, you know, this is amazing. Oh, I heard a joke the other day. This is Chuck Norris was in Star Wars. He was the Force. Okay, so Anyway, you have, that was just for no apparent reason at all. Anyway, you have, what I thought about this was there's a force coming out of the invisible realm, and it's this horse and chariot. It picks up Elijah, and it takes him away, and it takes him up in the sky, and he drops this mantle, and it drops down, and he takes the mantle. He got it rolled up, and he whacks the Jordan River, and he says, "Where's the God of Elijah?" And the Jordan River parts, and he walks over, and Elisha did twice the miracles of Elijah. It's recorded in the Bible. He'd get the double portion. He did twice as many. So there's something about spiritual sons receiving a portion of the anointing of a spiritual dad. I think my life has changed being around Larry Titus. I hope it has. I'm not perfect by any means, but he sure holds the bar rather high. And lastly, let's look at number three. Spiritual fathers, everybody say affirm. Affirm. They affirm sons and daughters in the faith. Everybody say once again, affirm. Affirm. 2 Timothy 1:5-7. I'm a reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. Now, this is a young man in that culture of that day who didn't have an earthly father in his life. And his faith, the faith was put into him by his mother and by his grandmother. And there's a sensitivity of Paul to acknowledge the source of the faith that he has came from these women. But he also had fear in his life, and he needed a man to help him deal with fear. Because until there's a man that can help you not be afraid, you can have fear. Women have a tendency to be fearful more than men do if men are raised up. And all the women are shaking their heads like, yeah. You know, you need somebody to come in and rescue the situation, right? And so it says, Timothy struggled with fear. So we're going to help you with that, Timothy. Here's how we're going to do it. Remember when I laid hands on you and prayed for you? Here's what happened, guys. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he got prayer language. He's praying. He's got the power of God. He's praying. He says, look, I want you to stir up, and I want you to pray in the Spirit more. Because God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you power. And what happens? There's a resourcing that begins to come through the baptism of the Spirit. There's resourcing that comes from the power of God in you. He says, you're going to get power. You're going to get love flowing in you. Holy Spirit imparts this. You're going to get love flowing in you. And you're going to have a lot more self-control because you're going to give God control. Son, this is how we do it. We don't bow to fear. We stir up the gift that's within us, and we pray in the Spirit, and we stir it, and we go deeper with worship in God, and we love the Lord more. And in the midst of that, fear dissipates, and power settles in. Is that right? Those of you know the way, this is what we do. So anyway, look at this. He also spoke words into his life. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, this charge I entrust you, Timothy, my child. Watch this. In accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Additionally, when he laid hands on him, when he spent time with him, God would stir up prophetic words, and he would speak him and give him scriptures and talk to him in a way. And suddenly, those things became the way that he says, you remember what was said to you? Pull that up. And if hell confronts you, confront him back. Say, who I am. See, look, Timothy didn't know who he was until Paul told him who he was. You're a man of God. I'm a man of God. I'm submitted to Jesus Christ. We're servants. We're slaves of the Lord. Get your hands off my stuff, devil. I belong to him. Everything I have belongs to him. You learn the way. You learn the submissive lifestyle to the Lord. Is this helpful? Now, I got one other quick verse here at the end, and Paul modeled what growing up in Christ looks like. Let's look at this, and then we'll get to the end and have us stand together. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, Paul says this to the Corinthians after he's talking in the chapter all about love and the maturity, what love really looks like. It's patient, it's kind, it doesn't puff itself up, all that stuff. And he gets to this, he says, look, when I was a child, I spoke, I thought, understood as a child, I reasoned as a child. Everybody did it. But growing up is about not doing it anymore. Growing up in Christ is about not acting like a kid anymore. And this word, put to death, or this word, when I became, I gave it up. It just looks like I just gave it up. It is the most powerful word. It means to render useless, to cause to have no effect anymore, to destroy. To destroy the selfish attitude, it's destroyed. It's destroyed. Katergeo is an amazing term. And the Lord uses this term in the Bible. It's like there's so much about it. I won't get into that right now. I want to get into the last part because I'm running out of time. Everybody say, duh. You know, hey, it's not normal. So I was in here praying last night. And the Lord welled up in my spirit. And I think the context of it is you're going to be talking about this tomorrow. And I want to do something about it. And you're going to have people that are in the room that will have felt forsaken in some way inside. And the Lord says, I want to answer to that. I want to do something inside of your heart to answer to the feelings that you may have where you felt forsaken. I believe the Lord, when he says stuff like this, has an intention. And I don't want you to get in your head. I want you to open your heart before the Lord right now and get real honest and take a little inventory before the Lord. Holy Spirit, come right now. I just ask that you come. Wherever there's been the pain of neglect, wherever there's been the sense of feeling left out or abandoned, where you haven't felt like you mattered, where you had an expectation for love and you didn't get that. And something inside a long time ago shut down. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and woo the heart to open. Woo the heart to open afresh. Holy Spirit, we just pray right now. Because you want to address the hearts in the room where there has been sometimes a lifelong thing, something of a feeling of being forsaken that has shaped a mentality inside of you that causes you to feel like, I will never truly, deeply be loved. It's not going to happen for me. That's a lie. Father God says, that's a lie. That's a lie. I tear down and heal the things that has constructed themselves in your mind and in your heart that hold you back from the depths of my love for you. I break in upon that and I take out the power that would say you are forsaken and you will never have what others have. This is a lie from the depths of hell against your life. And Jesus came to represent the heart of the Father and die for everything. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He took all of that upon himself to break the hold of any chain, any construct, anything inside of your soul that says that you cannot experience the depth of God's love for you. It's a lie, my friend. It's a lie, my daughter in the faith. It's a lie, my sister. It's a lie, my brother. It's a lie. And Jesus is here on Father's Day to show you the heart of Father God for you and to remove that evil deposit out of your heart. He's coming. He's settling on us right now. He's settling on us right now. So I want to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a heart full of forgiveness, full of forgiveness. When Jesus was on the cross, he was concerned about the Roman soldiers that were crucifying him being forgiven. He said, Father, forgive them, and they know not what they do. Let me just go ahead and tell you. I'm going to tell you really pointedly. My dad did what he did because something happened to him. And later on, he got healed. And if he had been healed, he would have never done it. So don't look at the person. Look at what the devil was doing with it. It's not actually the event with the person. It's what hell brought into in the spiritual realm, in your emotions. Man, the Lord's dissolving something right now. Praise you, Lord. Let's just say, Lord, I forgive. Okay, there's a Melissa. Oh, man. Okay. The Lord's healing where you were molested by your dad. I don't know who you are, but he's come right now. He's come right now. The Lord knows the pain. He knows the pain of being violated. He understands that. You could be forgiven right now. You could go ahead and you can forgive right now and receive. Receive that forsaken spirit. It's leaving you. Go ahead and let it go. Let it come off of your heart. Let it come off of you. Let it come off of you. Be real before the Lord. Just be real. Say, Lord, thank you because you're the pure one that would never violate me. You're the pure man that would always care about me deeply and never harm me. You're the lover of my soul. You cherish me. You cherish me. Hallelujah. Everybody is baptized in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit under your kind of like just little holy murmur. Fill up the room, so to speak. Just thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, fall fresh. Fall fresh. There's another understanding forming in my heart right now. I feel like the Lord wants to really assure certain ones of you. There are some in the room that had wonderful moments, wonderful, wonderful, God-touched, God-blessed moments with your dad. And the Lord wants you to know that that was a gift from him to give you a picture of who he is. That the positive things that happened in your life, the Lord says, I want you to know that I'm there to cause you to know what I'm really like, that I cherish you. That day when you felt super excited about your dad and it was a blessing, even if other things went wrong, he's saying, that was a picture of me being super excited about your life. He's good, isn't he? Come on, let's say it. Jesus is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Let's stand. I want those who are praying up front to come on down. Okay, look, guys. Has this been helpful? Help me out here. Has this been helpful? Has this been helpful? Has this helped somebody? Can we put our hands before the Lord right there? Just go ahead and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit's embrace on our life. And I pray, Father, for each person here, every broken place, every place that's not functioning the way it could. I'm asking, Lord, that in the days and weeks ahead, that there would come an increasing touch of your grace to unshackle and help each person in here walk out of what was misshapen in them. Help them walk out of it and be free from it. Now let's praise the Lord, would you? Let's praise him. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. In advance, we thank you, Lord, in advance, for taking away, Lord, everything that has promoted rejection in the soul, we command it to leave now. We command it to leave now. Every damaged moment, the Lord is here. He's hovering over your heart. There's glory in your life that the Lord's bringing to you to cause you to be whole inside. Okay, one more. There's many of you that it happened when you were really, really little. And you haven't really been in touch with what went wrong. And it's painful, but the Lord is not coming to jerk knots in you. He's coming to put love in you to cause you to let the grief come out gently and to let the tears flow up. And he puts all of your tears in a bottle. Everything is precious to the Lord. When it comes to this massive power that's in a father, the Lord is so gentle and gracious to bring healing and help us come into a place of wholeness. I am proof that God can heal a damaged soul. I am 100% proof. I don't have any pain. The Lord swapped out my pain and put anointing to heal in its place. I don't have hurt buried in me anymore. I have hope for souls in me. Jesus has done a deep and precious work in my life. And without running my dad through the coals, you don't need to run your dad through the coals. He was just a broken person who passed it along. Somebody's got to come out of that and turn around and head the other way. And I headed the other way so much that it started to come back on him and bring healing to his life. It can be done. There's a picture here of wholeness that the Lord has for you. And I wish that we could go for hours and let the Lord go very specifically and deeply into each heart and unravel thing after thing and bring healing and touch, because this is why we are in this place. To bring about, look, if I see ashes, I prophesy beauty. If I feel mourning, I prophesy joy. Because that's the solutions. God says, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. I'm going to give you joy for mourning. I'm going to resurrect you out of the brokenness of your past and make something beautiful that can be spread around. Hallelujah. We're going to dismiss. But if you have a need for further prayer, come on down. Hug about three people around you and say, you look better now. Go ahead and tell them.